Today's reading is from John 13:1-17. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those that have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Thank you, Esther. It's so good to be with you all this morning. Thanks for your warm welcome. It's been a few years now, actually, too, I think, since we were able to come last time because of COVID. And that feels strange because we usually come every year. And yet we're so thankful for your prayers, for the online calls that we're able to do, and you pray for the mission. And it's so important because of what we're reading here. When I read this passage, I see so much security in who Jesus is and what he does in our lives and our hearts. And I see a God of love, a God who is close, a God who walked with us on this earth and who washed our feet. And so many today don't get the chance to understand that, to know who God is, to know this God who washed the disciples' feet. That's why Matthew and Vika do what they do. And Anya and I have the privilege of working with many different young leaders and couples and teams around Europe who are sharing Jesus in this way with a generation, many who have never really had the chance to hear this in a way that they can understand, or maybe have heard it but have grown bitter towards it or left the church and walked away. And we know this reality here as well. It's challenging times. So many people are insecure in who they are, uncertain of the present and the future, uncertain of what life is really about and why we're here. And we're growing up being told that nobody knows the answers to these questions. That you can't know. That we just have to all figure it out. And when I look at this, I see certainty. I see clarity. I see a God who reveals himself. And that's wonderful. It's amazing. It makes me think, you know, Anya and I were involved a couple of months ago. We did an evangelistic tour around Poland. To four different cities. And it was a real breakthrough for us because we'd been trying to do different things like this in Poland for 5 years that we'd been living there so far. And often people had said to us, especially the younger people, they'd be like, "Oh, going to the streets and telling people about Jesus doesn't work here. It doesn't work. We shouldn't do it." And we kept praying and encouraging others and inviting others to come to us. And this last time when we did this tour, we had 30 young Polish artists and creatives and just followers of Jesus who were passionate about their faith and wanted to go and share the gospel through a performance that we put together. When we were doing this, we had crowds in central cities in the squares where we would go and share the gospel. Many people responded, and one in particular I was remembering when I was looking through this passage again. His name's Pavel, Paul, and he came to the first concert that we did, and he saw it, and he was impacted by the message, but he said, "It's great, it's lovely that you're doing that, but it's not for me. I'm not religious. I don't know if I could really trust the God." And that's such a common answer, isn't it? Maybe you've met people who have answered in that way too. When you share your faith, when you say, "I go to church on Sunday, would you like to come with me?" They might say, "Oh, it's great that you do that. It's not for me. I'm not religious." And so he answered in this way. And we said, you know, talked to him a little bit, and he went home. Well, the next day we were doing the performance again in another location in the city. And he just happened to be walking by, and he heard music, and he went to see what it was, and there we were again. So he watched the concert a second time. And he was impacted again. He cried during the performance. And at the end, he said, "I don't know why this is moving me so much, and I don't know why I ended up watching this concert again, but it's great, but it's not for me." We were able to pray with him and say, you know, "God, would you reveal yourself to him?" Well, then we did another concert 400 or 500 kilometers away in another city the following weekend. And he just happened to be traveling there with his job. He didn't know that we were going there, but he was there with his work, and he happened to be walking through the square where we were to get some food during his work, on his work break. And when he walks by, he sees our concert there again, and the moment he sees us, he starts crying again. He's like, "What is happening? Why do I keep meeting you guys? What is going on?" One of our team said, "I think God is after you. I think he's coming after you." So he sat and he watched the concert again, and at the end he said, "I can't explain this. I can't say it's a coincidence." And he prayed to receive Jesus together with us after that show. And we've been working with him since then and in connection with him. But he needed to realize that God is real. He needed to realize and discover again who he is and why he's here. And that's what we all need, to know why we're here. Who God is, what is the point of everything, and how can we know God? If there's a God, how can we know him? And when we read a passage like this, when we read scripture, we find a God who reveals himself, who speaks to us. Many young people today don't know who they are. They don't know why they're here or where they're going. There's a lack of purpose, and there's a loneliness in our culture that's prevalent everywhere, not just here in the UK, across Europe and around the world. And they're looking for answers, but they think of God as far away, maybe in a church they wouldn't walk into. They think that he's maybe an angry bearded man looking down at them. But when we read this passage, we see a God who is close to us, a God who walked with us, who washed the disciples' feet. And it starts right in verse 1 with that love, that God who loved us, because it says that Jesus, having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. And I love how John introduces this story like that. This is about love. It's about God's love. He says Jesus loved them, and he loved them to the very end. If we haven't seen God, how can we know what he's like? Well, Jesus says, "Look to me, and you'll see what the Father is like." And here he is. He loved them to the very end. And then John says another thing that seems a bit out of place in this story in verse 3. He says, "Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal and took a towel to wash the disciples' feet." And it makes me think, why would he have to say that first? Why does he have to say Jesus knew who he was? He knew he'd come from the Father, and that all things were under his power, that he came from God and was returning to God. Why was that important? Because Jesus had all certainty of who he was. And that's why he did what he did. There was no doubt. There was no confusion. There was no trying to figure things out. There was no confusion about where he was going, that he was going to the cross. He knew what he was doing. He knew where he came from and where he was returning to. And that's crucial. That is exactly what our culture, our society, our world is looking for. That kind of certainty, to know who we are and why we're here. And Jesus has that. And when we meet him, that's exactly what we discover. We discover again that we were made by a loving God. We discover that he can tell us who we are, that he defines our identity, and he gives us purpose. He gives us a reason to live. He shows us you've come from God and you're here, you're serving God, and there is an end to this story. There is an eternal end to this story. We know where we're going. And that certainty changes everything. It changes the way we live our lives, the decisions we make, what we choose to use our time for, who we relate to. It affects everything around us. That's what happens when we meet Jesus. That's what Nick was talking about when Zacchaeus met Jesus. It changed his heart. That's what happens when we meet Jesus. And then we read on and we see Jesus doing something that was radical. If we really understand the context, that at a time with dirt roads and people wearing sandals, walking into a house, especially in a richer house, there'd be a servant who would greet you, who would wash your feet and would wipe your feet. But it was always like that, a servant, a slave, maybe even a Gentile slave, somebody from another country who's not one of our communities, not one of our people, would be the one who would have to wash the feet. But then you have here Jesus, the master, minimally recognized as a teacher, but by the disciples recognized as the Christ, the living God, the King of the universe, kneeling down, putting on the clothing of a slave and kneeling down to wash their feet. I don't know if you've ever done this, where you've gone outside, especially summertime. Here it's cold most of the time. I came here for a little summer break, went to see my family. It rained every day. So I understand if you haven't experienced this, but I grew up in Brazil. And in Brazil, I loved running around with nothing on my feet outside. So I'd take my shoes off, go running in the street with nothing on my feet. And then I'd come home, and my feet would be brown, black, dirty. And they probably didn't have good soap in those times. And I just didn't have the time to use soap in my time as well. So I'd grab one of my mum's nice, clean, white towels. I'd throw a bit of water on my foot, and then I'd rub it off with a towel and hang the towel back up. Then my mum would come back into the bathroom, and there was a towel covered in footmarks. She knew exactly who'd done that. Now imagine Jesus, the King of the universe, who took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist and knelt with a basin of water and washed the feet of 12 men and wiped them on his towel. And so then you need to imagine Jesus standing before them with their footmarks all over his waist. Jesus wore their dirt so that they could be clean. And in a world that's so broken, and we think this generation thinks of God far away, to then see a God who actually walks on our dirty streets, sits in our broken homes, in the middle of the fighting and the selfishness and the reality we live in, and who washes our feet and wears our dirt for us. That's the God I see. And I think it is radically relevant to this culture right now. When I go out to the streets or we meet people at festivals or at universities, I ask them, what is most important to them? And one of the most common answers is human rights. That's what we value. We value equality. We value people respecting one another, treating each other right, justice. We want justice for the oppressed. We want the poor to have an opportunity. This is something that we see everywhere, and it's beautiful. It's godly, much of it. At least the root of those values. They come from somewhere, and that's often what I get to in those conversations. I say, well, where do you think all of that came from? Because if we look to nature, We see survival of the fittest. We've learnt that in biology. It's the strongest will survive, the one that goes through and survives. That's how nature works. And if we look at history, we see one nation dominating another and controlling another. And if we look at philosophy, especially the one that our culture is following, it's a culture, well, we call it humanism, and we think that resolves things without God. And it's putting me at the center and saying, I can resolve things, I can do things for myself. And we do good things to each other, and we try to have these values because it will benefit us. If we have good values like human rights, it will benefit society. But to live what Jesus just demonstrated, that motivation of self-benefit is never going to work. It's just not enough. It doesn't lead to this. So all those values of equality and justice and caring for the oppressed and lifting up the oppressed comes from somewhere, and I believe it comes exactly from here, because Jesus inverts everything. Suddenly the master, the teacher, puts on the clothing of a slave and washes the feet of the disciples. And that's why Peter reacts that way. That's why Peter says, Jesus, wait a minute. Are you going to wash my feet? Because he's just acting naturally like all of us would. He's reacting, saying, is this what you should do? You're the teacher, the master. You're going to wash my feet? That's the natural way to react. That's how our world reacts. Our world is one nation dominating another. Our philosophy, our culture is me first. And let's see what will benefit me. That's the world we live in. And Jesus changes that. He breaks the law of nature, but he follows the law of God, the law of love. And so Peter says, no, you can't wash my feet. But then Jesus gives two reasons why he must wash Peter's feet and why he must wash our feet. Verse 8, Peter says, no, you'll never wash my feet. But Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Those are strong words. You have no part with me. When I look at the beautiful character of God shown in Jesus right here, that love, that closeness, that sacrifice, to think that I could have no part with him, I can't think of a worse thing. To have no part with him, to not be able to join him. So I think most of us, if we truly understand that, would react like Peter does. Okay, wash everything then. Wash my whole body. I need you, Jesus. But what Jesus said is true, and it points to the cross. What he does there is almost like a demonstration of what he's about to do on the cross, isn't it? Because he's washing our feet, he's wearing our dirt. It cost him to clean us, to make us free, to forgive us. That's what we see at the cross. Jesus giving his life that we could be free, that we could be forgiven. But we need to be cleaned. We need to allow him to wash our feet. It's a surrender. So it costs Jesus, but our part is a surrender. It's a, Jesus, fill me. I surrender to you. Yes, wash my feet. Wash my whole body. That's our part to play. So the first reason Jesus gives is that if we don't let him wash us, we have no part with him. We need this. All of us do. We all have dirty feet, and we need to come to him and receive that forgiveness. But the second reason he gives is the rest of the passage, and particularly in verse 14 and 15, he explains, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So the second reason is Jesus gives us an example. He shows us how to change this world, how to be different, how to be like him. He says, I've washed your feet, now you go and wash the feet of others. And I think that's the challenge to all of us, followers of Jesus, who have seen him wearing our dirt. How can we do the same? What does it look like for me and you in our reality, in our place? Whose feet are we washing? And it's for all of us, all ages, all different walks and moments in our walk of faith. How can we lift others up? How can we serve others? Who is it God is calling us to go out to and show them who he is in a way they might understand? We met a girl called Janetta in Wrocław, Poland, where Anya and I are living and working with our team. She'd been very lost in the electronic music scene in Berlin, Germany. She'd been involved in drugs, in esoteric stuff, in weird spirituality. She felt really lonely, depressed. She couldn't sleep at night. She was afraid of sleeping at night because she had nightmares and she felt oppression in her room, like a spiritual battle going on in her room. So she went back to Poland and she went to a church to try to find some help. And one of the people she met there said that they'd pray for her, but that they didn't think that she'd be able to be free, and she had to come to exorcism sessions every week, and she heard a whole lot of things that made her more afraid. And she walked out into the central square and she heard music. And she walked to a group of young people who were worshiping Jesus in the central square and were talking about their faith and sharing. So she stopped to listen. And as she listened, somebody walked over to her and asked her how she was doing. And she shared her story. And so the people meeting there were our team that Anya leads in Wrocław. And some of the team members went over to her, Anya included, and said, "Well, can we pray for you now? We believe Jesus can set you free now. We believe you can have peace." So they prayed for her. And they said, "Would you like to come back to our house and have a meal with us?" So she came, had a meal, and she said, "Could I stay overnight? I'm staying in a hostel nearby, and I'd prefer to stay with you." There was a flat in the center with some of the girls from our team living there, and they invited her to stay overnight. And she said, "I don't sleep at night because I'm always afraid." And they said, "We'll pray for you before you sleep." And they sat and they prayed with her before she slept, and she slept better than she had for months. The next morning she woke up feeling a great peace. Well, she never left that house. She stayed, she joined a local church, she was baptized, she started following Jesus because she had discovered who she was and why she's here and what she's living for. She came to us some months ago and said, "There are many like me." In the electronic music clubs, could we go there and tell them about Jesus? So we went with her and we got to meet some crazy people there. But what touched me about that story was that Janetta had had her feet washed by Jesus. She realized what it meant to truly meet him, to be forgiven and to have her heart changed. And her reaction was to remember those from where she'd come from and to say, "Can we go to them? Can we go back?" So Janetta traveled with us on this tour. She's with us all the time. She's part of our team because she wants to wash other people's feet. I think that's what Jesus is challenging us to here. We've, each of us, most of us here, have known what it's like to have our feet washed. And so the challenge, which is a daily challenge in all that we do, is how can I wash the feet of others around me? Who is Jesus calling me to? Whose feet should I wash? Maybe you're at that place where you know this story and you've come to the church, or maybe you're watching online and you're thinking, "You know, I know about this." But maybe you're wondering if you've truly taken the step Peter did, of surrender, of saying, "Jesus, wash my whole body." You see, Peter knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus 3 years already. And yet he said, "No, you can't wash my feet." He hadn't quite got it yet. And for some of us, that's how we might feel. Maybe I haven't quite got it yet and I need to surrender. It does require surrender. It requires what we call repentance, which is to say, "God, I need you. My feet are dirty. I need your forgiveness and I want to be free." And if that's you, you could say a prayer like that this morning. You could say, "Jesus, I want to fully surrender to you. I want my heart to be yours. I want my feet clean." If you're watching, you might say that prayer too. But maybe you're somebody who has had your feet washed and you've followed him for many years. And you're looking for how can I wash the feet of others. And maybe there's a... Sometimes it's difficult. There are things that stop us, or maybe there's a fear. And I've been studying recently a lot, looking through Acts and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And you know, one of the things that strikes me is that it's very common that when we know Jesus, and Acts talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, the most common sign for me is courage. Courage. Courage to preach. You see in Acts 4, the disciples prayed together, they were filled with the Spirit, and they had the boldness. They preached boldly. And I feel like that's what I often need. And I feel like that's what we need in many of our churches around Europe. I get to visit and travel, and I see that that's a need we have as a church, is to have more courage. So I've been praying, God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit in a way that I'd have the courage to wash the feet of others around me. So maybe that's your prayer today. Jesus, fill me with your Spirit that I would have the courage to wash the feet of others around me. So whether you're in that first group or in that second group, I'd love for us to pray together that God would move in our hearts, that he would awaken us to go out and to wash the feet of others. I believe that's what our generation needs right now, is an awakening in our hearts and in our churches, that we would have the boldness to go out to them. So, Father God, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for your character so clearly shown in this story. Thank you, Jesus, that you love your own and you love us to the very end. Thank you, Jesus, that you walk with us, that you wash our feet. Thank you that you knew exactly what you were doing. And that certainty is one that you can give us too. I thank you for washing our feet. And Jesus, I pray for those this morning that feel like they really need their feet washed. They haven't fully surrendered to you. And if that's you, you can pray with me like this. Jesus, my feet are dirty and I want to be clean and I want to be with you. And I pray that you would forgive me, that you would clean me, and you would come into my heart. I surrender to you. And Father, for us who have had our feet washed and we've been following you for many years, sometimes it's hard to know how to put this into practice, how to do what you did, Jesus. What does that look like today in our work, in our schools, universities, in our neighborhood? What does it look like for us as a church, Cheam Baptist Church? What does it look like for each of us individually? Father, speak to us, I pray. And what I ask is that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we would have the courage and the boldness to wash the feet of those you call us to. In Jesus' name, amen.